He is the one and only Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus. Dunny, how are you, my man?
That's a heck of an intro. I'm doing good, Andy. How you guys doing?
We are doing well, my man. And boy, what a busy week in Buckeye country, from beating up on Michigan State to this new Brett McMurphy report. Let's start with Michigan State. Boy, as a Michigan State fan, I just kind of watched that game and shook my head, and I didn't really think they had much of a chance going into that. Michigan State's quarterbacks looked god-awful in that game. Some of that had to do with the pressure being applied by Ohio State and as well as they played in that game. Hey, have you ever seen a punter have a game like that, though? I mean, the starting field position, the average for Michigan State, I think, was like their own 9. That was crazy.
The second half, their average field position was about their 9-yard line. 5 straight punts inside the 15-yard line for punter Drew Chrisman. He did a great job of pinning the Spartans back, and especially after his first punt, which went a grand total of 4 yards. You know, shooting 7 rows into the grandstands. But after that, he really played incredibly well.
And as I'm watching this game, Donnie, I'm thinking, you know, Michigan State's not the offensive juggernaut, are probably not nearly as good as some of these other offenses that Ohio State has seen this season. But again, you know, Ohio State did a real nice job of limiting Michigan State's rushing attack. They forced them into third and long situations, and they forced them to do things that they just don't want to do. Have you ever seen the defense and special teams look this good this season?
Well, part of me, special teams, no. Special teams, that was probably their best game for in a long time. As far as defense, I have trouble distinguishing whether the defense played incredibly good or Michigan's offense was that bad. And I think it's kind of a little bit of both. I was very surprised Mark D'Antonio gave up on the run from Michigan State that quickly. I mean, if you look at the numbers, they didn't run much at all compared to what they normally do. And then, but on the other side, for the Buckeyes, for the defense, they really only gave up a 24-yard run, and that was about it. You know, the defense played very well. I like to think of it as they played a good defense that gave them a lot of confidence going into the rest of the season, I think.
And as I'm studying this game, I mean, like I say, just so many things went wrong. I mean, for crying out loud, they gave Ohio State a safety by purposely snapping the ball to the back of the end zone. And then, you know, on their next offensive possession, they can't get a simple snap correct back to the quarterback. It hit the man in motion. I mean,
yeah,
a lot of things didn't go well. But again, yeah, as you mentioned, Ohio State was playing that game with a great deal of confidence. And as things really began to materialize, I started thinking, you know, as dinged up as Ohio State has been this year, that's about as good as I've seen them look, given the circumstances.
With the exception of, I think, Baron Browning, who usually starts a middle linebacker for Ohio State, everybody seemed to be back on that team. Injury-wise. So that was probably the healthiest defense Ohio State has had, probably since the TCU game, since Nick Bosa went down. And so, you know, Ohio State will play a lot better with that, with more and more players as they get healthier and healthier.
Sean Dunnigan, WBNS-TV in Columbus, our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, let's address this Brett McMurphy report. Matt and I discussed it briefly on Monday. I don't feel like this has really gotten the kind of traction that I really thought it was going to, and maybe that's because so many close to the situation have come out to completely annihilate this thing. Donnie, what do you know about this situation? And then for those who have not heard about it yet, can you shed some light and provide some more details?
From everything I understand and just seeing the players' responses on Twitter and in social media, you go back to the original report from McMurphy back in July with Zach Smith and Urban Meyer in Ohio State. Then it was kind of, you know, nobody talked about it. It was kind of hush-hush when it came to the players on social media. This thing broke, and within 20 minutes, essentially it was right after the players saw it and read it, everything was just being debunked and shot down in this. I don't even want to call it an article. I don't even know what it was. It was not greatly sourced. He kind of he kind of discredited his primary source in the story. It was not a good look in my mind for Brett McMurphy more than Ohio State football.
Well, if you discredit your source of the story, then why in the world would you publish that? That just makes you think twice about this guy. And look, this is a guy that got beaten up by a lot of Ohio State fans for the report that he put together over the summer. A lot of folks in the broadcast journalism industry had his back because they figured he had to go through a lot of hoops in order to get that story out there. And there seemed to be some legitimacy to that story. This one, though, everybody's coming out of the woodwork to squash this thing, saying that that's not the kind of culture that exists at Ohio State. There are current players, former players coming out on social media, primarily on Twitter.
You have current and former players and mothers on social media coming out against this article. When you have other people's mothers coming out against it, you know you did something bad.
Sure. I guess the question looms, at least for me. Why didn't he check with some of those former players who might have been in the locker room that day and kind of get their source on it, as opposed to just having the one side? I guess that's what I thought as I kind of took a look at it.
I think my bigger question is, why do you go and talk about your source and everything, then you put his criminal record out there?
That's true.
You put the mother's criminal record out there, and now there's rumors that she may have been fired from her job because of that. This is all stuff that's out on Twitter. I'm not saying I know that for sure. But, you know, there are those rumors out there, and it caused a lot of headache for everybody involved except, you know, McMurphy. I don't know what's happening with him. He's been kind of quiet ever since this thing came out, and it's kind of weird that nobody really has his back on this one compared to what happened back in July. I think it might be just it goes, everybody read the article and was just going, huh? Because that was my initial reaction was, what was the point of this article?
Yes, that, and see, so for those who have not heard yet, there was a report that came out that Urban Meyer tried to cover up an incident between Zach Smith, the former wide receiver coach, and I'm missing the kid's name now,
Trayvon Wright.
Trayvon Wright. And there was apparently a racially charged incident at a practice that allegedly Urban Meyer tried to cover up. But, you know, again, anybody who was a part of those practices a couple of years ago, allegedly when this went down, it has all been 100% squashed by these players. So, you know,
former and current players. You have to remember that. These are current players. Paris Campbell, Austin Mack, Johnny Dixon, that came out in immediately against this.
Yeah, and they were very, very, very poignant in their responses as well, stating
right.
that this isn't something that they would ever stand for if indeed it was covered up. And that's also the kind of story I think you'd have a really difficult time keeping under wraps, especially considering that this kid he's since transferred out, has he not?
Trayvon?
Yes.
Yeah, Trayvon transferred out last year. He is currently with the Florida Gators. He got a medical hardship so he could play right away because his mother is suffering from stage 4 cancer. I can't remember exactly where the cancer is, but you know, it's very, very serious. And that was even attacked in this article, for lack of better terms, from McMurphy, saying, you know, it might be a cover-up. Which don't get me started. You start using cancer and cover up, and I have there's some words I cannot use on the radio right now.
Understood. Hey, look, the SEC may be listening, so yeah, let's just make sure you keep those under wraps. On to some other topics here, my man. Boy, over the weekend, Chris Olave had some kind of couple nice grabs, and really one of the only true freshmen to really make some big time moves throughout the course of the year for the Buckeyes. What are the coaches saying about him?
They've liked him, and the players, more importantly, the players have really, you know, stuck up for him and said, "Hey, this kid's going to be good. This kid can play now, and he's starting to show why and how he can play now." I think honestly, Coach Meyer not being here during training camp and the first three games hurt him a little bit. And the fact that, you know, Coach Meyer couldn't see him develop and see what kind of player he was. Now they're in game prep, and you can't really do a whole lot when it comes to showing what you have during game prep, but apparently you did enough to for a lot of to start playing and get in the games, and he's showing why the Buckeyes recruited him and why he's playing as a true freshman. He's having a great second half of the season for Ohio State.
Well, Ohio State has Maryland this weekend, a program in all kinds of turmoil. And, you know, I guess some would look at this game and think that it could be viewed as a potential trap game just because it's in between Michigan State and Michigan, which is next Saturday. What's Ohio State saying about Maryland?
They're saying they have a very feast or famine offense. Their starting quarterback, I believe his name is Kaysom Hill. He is out for the rest of the season. Tyrell Pigram will be their starting quarterback this Saturday against Ohio State. The Buckeyes are kind of familiar with him. They saw him last year when the Terrapins visited Ohio Stadium, so they're familiar with him. But this is very much kind of like a Nebraska or a Purdue type offense. So they can put up points. It'll be very interesting to see how they do against Ohio State and how this defense can play, and see how they can adjust from going to against Michigan State to a more spread offense like Maryland has.
Explain why this game means a lot to Dwayne Haskins.
Oh, this game means a lot not just to Dwayne Haskins but to the Buckeyes. This gets them to 10-1. This gets them, probably past number 10 in the country when it comes to college football playoff rankings. And then sets up a big matchup with Michigan, the winner of which goes on to the Big Ten title game against Northwestern. This sets up a lot. This could set up a road to the playoff for Ohio State and for Dwayne Haskins if the Buckeyes are able to win this game and then win next week.
You mentioned the road to play Northwestern in the Big Ten championship. Northwestern playing in that game, regardless of whether it's Ohio State or Michigan, does that hurt the Big Ten? The fact that, Northwestern doesn't have the most outstanding record.
Northwestern doesn't have the most outstanding record, but Northwestern is, I believe, 24th in the college football playoff rankings.
Sure.
They have a number next to their name. That's still pretty darn good.
All right.
Yeah, and look, they look okay. They're not one of those teams that's going to blow you away. I think what Matt's getting at here is, is that a problem for the Big Ten? Is that a problem for the conference, though?
I don't think so. I think, no matter what, the conference game is always going to be big. Now, College Game Day might not be there. They might go to another game. But if you look all across the country, you look at other conferences and you see, look at the Pac-12. The Pac-12 North is stacked. The Pac-12 South, you don't know who's going to win in that conference, and everybody seems to be 5-5 right now. You look at the ACC, and the Atlantic is pretty much set with Clemson, but the Coastal, there's still a way for Georgia Tech to win that division. So you just never know what everything looks like. Obviously the SEC, they've been set for 2 weeks now with who's going to play in their championship game between Alabama and Georgia. You look at the rest of the conference, and everyone's fighting for scraps. It seems like this year in college football, in the conferences with divisions, one division seems to be out empowering the other,
sure.
and the other division is just a free for all for who can get that last victory.
You still have those undefeateds, though. I feel in the SEC, the ACC, which kind of help out with the cause over there, but. I see what you're saying.
Who's the other undefeated in the SEC other than Alabama?
There's not. It's only Alabama, but Clemson's undefeated. You get your easy picks out of those ones. It's Ohio State and Michigan both have a loss. It's why I'm worried a little for the Big Ten.
I understand, but it's still a title game. It's still one more game than, say, Notre Dame has on their schedule.
Sure.
All right. Fair enough. Well, Donnie, we'll get off of football for a moment here, and I want to focus on something that you and Dave Holmes put together this past week that was really, really awesome. You guys did a story on a young man named Matt McClish, a great, powerful story for those that haven't had a chance to see this. Can you shed some light?
Yeah, Matt McClish is a senior at West Jefferson High School. He's on the golf team, and he has suffered from seizures throughout his life, and He was a pretty good golfer, and like I said, on the golf team. And last year, he was having a brain surgery, and it's nothing new to him. I believe he has had five in his life. And during the last brain surgery, he suffered a stroke. He lost the feeling in the left side of his body, and through rehab, he's back walking. He's at school. He's also still part of the golf team. He can't use his left hand and his left arm, but he still swings a club with his right arm and right hand only. How he's able to do it, I have no idea. I tried. Dave Holmes tried in the story. I did it off camera because that would just be too embarrassing. But it is dang tough to do, and he does it and plays incredibly well. Like I said, on the golf team at West Jefferson High School, he is an inspiration for everybody about overcoming the odds. He suffered a stroke, I believe, a year ago, and for him to be doing this now, it's very, very impressive.
Yeah, no question about that. I mean, like you said, he lost feeling. He was paralyzed in his left side. And the fact that he's even able to get out there and swing away with one arm, that is unbelievably impressive. All right, Donnie, before we cut you loose, my friend, big high school games on the slate this weekend in the Columbus area. Who are you guys covering tomorrow and Saturday?
Well, Division One, Region 2 and 3 are all Central Ohio teams. So in Region 2, we have Dublin-Kaufman playing Olin Tangi Liberty. In Region 3, we have Hilliard-Davidson playing Pickerington Central. That's a rematch from Week 5, which was an overtime game, which Pickerington Central ended up winning. And then in Division 3, we have Thornville-Sheridan out by Buckeye Lake taking on Eastmore Academy, the only team left from the Columbus City League. So those three games on Friday night will be very, very impactful when they go into the state semis, which guarantees at least two teams in Division One, and one team in Division Three a shot to bring back a state championship to Central Ohio for one of three teams.
Outstanding stuff as always, Donnie. Hey, we appreciate the time as always, my friend. And next Tuesday, we're going to have Donnie here in studio to talk about the Ohio State-Michigan game. So Donnie will be right here in the studios of AM 930 WEOL. Safe travels, my friend. Enjoy the weekend. We'll see you in here next week.
Sounds good, guys. Talk to you guys next week. See you there.